sons and daughters and grandsons and grandbabies, granddaughters. Lord, we just thank you for that. What a gift. And we thank you for that. Father, we pray for traveling mercies for those that are going to be traveling, for those that are coming back today, Lord. We just ask protection on all those who travel. Lord, we pray for the parishes, Jesus. We speak peace over their family. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, bless them. We thank you, Father, for the good report for Bonnie, that her liver enzymes are staying good. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that she would be able to take that targeted medicine up full dosage. Lord, we just ask your healing to be upon Bonnie in Jesus' name. We ask your mercy. We ask your peace, Lord, to be upon Jerry and her daughter, God. Heal them. Heal. Heal and restore. We pray, Father, for Janet Kirk's brother, Joe, for the chemo that he's undergoing. Jesus, we ask healing. Lord, we pray for his white count to come back up. And Lord, we ask your mercy on Joe in Jesus' name. We pray for Karen, Jesus, recovering from gallbladder surgery. We ask peace and healing and restoration on Karen in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Heather. Jesus, your mercy on her in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the report of a grandson that's come to know Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for Noah and, Lord, for his daddy that led him to Jesus. And, Lord, we just ask your peace on that family, your protection upon that family in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we pray for Noah, God, that he would be grounded and rooted in Jesus, that he would, you would continue, Lord, to just bless him, that he would be a man after your own heart. We pray protection around him. God, that you would bring wise friends, that he would walk with the wise and become wise in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that his heart, the soil of his heart, would be good, and that your word that has been planted there would produce fruit 100-fold of what has been planted there in Jesus' name. We bless what you're doing there, God. We pray that Noah would be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Bless him, God. We pray, Father, for Pam and Charles Cruz, whose son, Lord, committed suicide. And Jesus, there is no pain like the death of a loved one, the death of a child. And Lord, I ask your mercy upon that family in Jesus' name. You are the God of all comfort, and you are the Father of compassion. I pray you would surround them, Lord, with your presence, with your peace, that you would speak your word to them, that they would hear your voice, that they would hear, Lord, your love for them in the midst of this tragedy, in the midst of this darkness. Lord, we just speak peace, mercy, healing, restoration. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Pray comfort on that family in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for the flooding in China, Lord, and I think in Belgium and throughout the world. Lord, we ask for comfort for those that have lost loved ones. Lord, have mercy. We pray for the water situation out west. And we say, Father, have mercy in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. We thank you that you are the God who sees, that you are the God who hears. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Lord, have mercy. We lift up all of our concerns, all of the things for which, Lord, we hold near and dear to our heart, family members that need you. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Those that need healing in their bodies, Jesus, have mercy. Those that need healing in their minds, Jesus, have mercy. Thank you that we can come into the throne room. We can enter into the Holy of Holies to find mercy and receive grace to help us in our time of need. Lord, we humble ourselves before you and say we need you. Our families need you. Our nation needs you. trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we lift up to you these tithes, these gifts, and the offerings. Father, we pray you'd bless these offerings and you'd bless the givers. Lord, in Jesus' name, we offer it all up to you because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, please stand for the singing of the doxology. Thank you. bless you and we praise you and we honor you. Lord, that what we have come, what we have in your word, Lord, was from eyewitnesses. Now, Lord, we just ask for more. I ask for revelation today. I pray, Lord, that today that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. I pray, Father, that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart, that we would know the hope to which you called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and the power for those of us who believe. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it's a living word, that we can encounter you in it. I thank you, Father, for the joy that I had this week as you're just unveiling things to me. And you just continue, Lord, to show me such beautiful things in your word. Now, Lord, I am completely incapable of sharing that with your people today. So Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, teach us. Lord, we don't need more knowledge. Lord, we need an encounter from you. So, Lord, I pray that we would encounter you in your word. Holy Spirit, come. Presence of Jesus, come. Beyond the sacred page, may we see you in your glory, in your splendor. Lord, may we know how beloved we are. You love us so much. When you look at us, Lord, all you feel is love. And Lord, I pray that we would get it, that we would see it, that we would experience, Lord, more than head knowledge, Lord. We want an encounter. So King of Glory, come. I just release revelation in the house. I release peace in this house. I release your glory in this house. We want to see you. We want to encounter you. King of Glory, come. Do what I cannot do. Anoint me. In my weakness, be strong. King of Glory, come. King of Glory, come. King of Glory, come. Who? In Jesus' name. Amen. Such beauty in his word. Absolute beauty. There are times when I read it. Sometimes I laugh because I'm like, God, I'm not that smart. There are other times I cry and I'm weak because it's like, Lord, this is so beautiful. And today is one of those days. Last week I shared with you about that little word, abide. And I had every intention of starting 1 John today. But I want to go back because there's just more with that little word. And I think that next week I'll jump into 1 John. But I think in order to understand 1 John, we have to understand how John, the disciple, the gospel writer John, uses that word. And it's so powerful and it's so meaningful because John, of all the disciples, he was part of the inner circle. He called himself the beloved of God, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That was not an arrogant statement. It was just this identity that he had. And my prayer for myself and my prayer for all of you is that we would know ourselves as the beloved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You are so loved. You are so loved. You are so loved. And if we got it and we really experienced it, all of us deal with fear. All of us deal with anxiety. All of us do. I come to John and I see that John uses that word, he uses that word 33 times. And that's a striking difference. And so when we study the Bible, one of the best skills that we can have, besides Holy Spirit asking him to come and teach us, is just to observe what's there. And so as I looked at that, I was like, that is significant. Why does John use that word so much more? And as I looked at, we looked at last week, he's a disciple whom Jesus loved. He has this identity. He knows who he is. He's part of the inner circle. I was like, wow. And then how he uses that word in a theological sense. So I began tracing that word on the 33 times. So I've pulled out, is it three or four? I've pulled out four themes that I saw that occurred. The first one is in John 1, where that word occurs theologically, and then we're going to go through those four themes that I saw, because John, when he wrote his gospel, have you ever heard the synoptic gospel? Have you ever heard that title, the synoptics? Ever heard that? Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels because they write a synopsis, and it tends to go from the beginning to the end. But John's gospel is different, and he has things in there that Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't have. He has the story of the woman at the well, and he tends, when you look at what he did, his whole agenda in putting his gospel together wasn't to give like a biography, but he pulled out things in Jesus' life that we needed to grasp. And so this writer, this one whom Jesus loved, he takes this word abide, and it means more to him than just staying in a place or dwelling in a place. And how does he use that word theologically, and what are the practical implications for us? So that's kind of the flow of what we're doing today. This is more of a Bible study than a sermon, but it's so profound and it's so beautiful. So, I've already kind of stated, abide, what that word means, to dwell, to live, to remain. Matthew, Mark, and Luke use it exclusively to stay somewhere, to stay at a house. John uses that word as well in that way, but the first time he uses it in a theological sense, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 1. I think this is so fun because it just flows with, and I'm not this brilliant, but it flows with what the Lord's been giving me to preach too. What's the first instance? Can you have a guess? What have I spent most of the summer preaching on? Holy Spirit. And that's what John does. He uses that word in context of the Holy Spirit. Find it here. John chapter 1. Let's start in verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. This is John the Baptist. And said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." That's our little word, abide. The Spirit of God comes, and it abides in Jesus. It remains on him. "I myself did not know him, but he who sent to me baptized with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" Significant that John uses that word for abide and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and remains on him, and it says, and he's the one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer. And we need him, and it's so beautiful that John, of all the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he talks more about the theology of the Holy Spirit than any of the others. I've been telling you for weeks, John 14 through 17, some of the most beautiful scripture. It's in John 14 that Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send my Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter, the one who will teach you, the one who will guide you into all truth, the one who will remind you of me." Jesus will give him to us freely. We're born of the Spirit when we believe in Jesus, but he'll baptize us in the Spirit. He'll fill us up to overflowing so we don't have to be swayed by anxiety and fear in the world. It's what Jesus came to do. He came to save us. He came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. The second instance that this word is used theologically is in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm going to go ahead and read this because it's in the context of, I don't want to just pull it out because it's a tough word, but it's in the context of love. So, I'm going to start in John, I'm going to read verse 1, we're going to go through this. It's a lot of scripture, but it's so beautiful how he uses this. So, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus told him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus just isn't getting it because he's trying to think about it analytically. Nicodemus said to them, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." That's God's heart. He didn't come to condemn, but he came to save. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." We're seeing that right now, aren't we? People loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." So let's skip down to verse 36. Jesus is talking now to Greeks, and Greeks come to him, and they're asking him questions. And no, that's later. I'm sorry. This is John the Baptist. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. It's John. I'm jumping ahead to John 12. Here in later on, John the Baptist is talking. People come to John the Baptist. They're like, "What's going on? Both of you guys are baptizing." And John is talking about Jesus. And he says this. John chapter 3, verse 35. "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. 1 John, it talks about propitiation. All the punishment that was due us was put on Jesus. He loves us, and he wants us to come to him and find life. But if we don't, the wrath of God remains on us, and we're judged because we don't believe in him. The second time that that little word is used theologically. The third time that it's used theologically, I love this, John chapter 5, verse 38. It's talking about the word abiding in us. The word abiding in us. I think a constant theme throughout the lockdown, what I just kept getting from the Lord, and you've heard me again and again and again talk about it and preach it, and I'm going to keep doing it because it's so important. And the Lord just has it right before my face. His seed is good seed. The word of God is good seed. But it is contingent on the soil of our hearts. And he wants his word to abide in us, to remain in us. John chapter 5, verse 38. John chapter 5, verse 38. Tough word. He's talking to the Pharisees. He says, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. The Pharisees had a head knowledge. They thought they knew the word of God, but they missed Jesus. They missed him, and they didn't have his word, just letting it change them, letting it transform. Chapter 8. I love this one too. John chapter 8. Where do we get freedom? Where do we get freedom? Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. The enemy knows that. So what's his purpose? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. His purpose is to distract us. Get us so busy running around in circles. Get us bitter and angry, planting seeds of bitterness. And all of that he wants, that's what he wants, because he knows if he can make our lives thorny, that his word will not abide in us. And so that's why it's so important for us to guard the garden of our heart, to take the time to read his word and to spend time with him. If you are my disciples, you will abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. As the Lord is setting me free from lifelong anxiety and fear, you know what I have to do every day? I have to make a choice to set my mind on things above. Because Jesus has set me free by his blood. By his blood he has set me free. But I have a responsibility to get the word in my heart, to set my mind on him, and to make that choice every day. Because those fears are going to come, and the anxiety is going to come. And all of us have issues that we struggle with. Some of you, it may be anger. Some of you, I don't know what they are. But all of us, if we're saved in the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses us, and it'll break those things off of us. But we have a responsibility to set our heart and mind on him. And the truth will set you free. And we don't have to be a slave to those things anymore. People say, well, that's just the way I am. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Your identity is you're a child of God. You're holy and dearly loved. And your inheritance is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what